This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. The lead stories are, Senate has created a bill to put an exemption on Section 230. Google expands testing of Android Auto. AT&T has caused an absolute nightmare for one of their new customers, or an existing customers. And the NSO Group goes silent. I want to welcome you to episode 1542 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, July 22nd. This show is sponsored by GoDaddy and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to give a warm welcome to all our new listeners of the show. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and visit the website, check everything out, get subscribed to the show, get subscribed to the newsletter. This is where the action happens, as my great writers are putting great content on the website. Make sure you get over there on a regular basis. But of course, if you're subscribed or follow the podcast, you will get the show automatically. And if you sign up for a newsletter, you'll get the newsletter that contains all the show links that I'm going to talk about in today's show. So please do that. Please go over and support. We definitely appreciate it when you do. If you want to get more interactive, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Discord channel. Link is on the website. And today we're also streaming just about everywhere. So you can catch the show live Mondays and Thursdays, and generally around 7 o'clock in the evenings, we're live. But you can also contact me via Twitter. That's real easy. You can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, and on Twitter at geeknews. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook as well. Feel free to do that. And of course, our partner shows are all linked to geeknewscentral.com. You can check those out. New Media Show, the Pro Gear Guru, the GNC Week in Review. Lots of great content for you to consume at geeknewscentral.com and all our partners. Of course, this show has the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You can check out all the great deals at GoDaddy by going to my GoDaddy promo code page. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, where we're going to save you lots of money. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be $499.com, our new and transfer domains for new customers only, or $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Let me say that again. $1 a month. Yes, $1 a month. Economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, and $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. The two best deals in the absolute world and universe when it comes to hosting accounts for your website that you'll be creating by getting that free domain. Of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a 1 month free trial. Again, all those codes, all those savings can be locked in by going to clicking the link or just checking out with the code. When you get over to GoDaddy, make sure you check the years of subscription. When you do pick up those economy hosting accounts or manage WordPress, sometimes they'll try to lock you in for 3 years. But if you want to just try it for a year, select the 1 year multiplier and you'll get this for $12. All right. So get her done. Get over there. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show. And again, you save a lot of money. And when you use my promo codes, or you share my promo codes, or you tell your friends about my promo codes, it's just like writing a check. It's just like handing me cash. That's the same thing that happens when someone recommends a promo code from Geek News Central. So do that, okay? And your support keeps the podcast online. It allows my independent team to be employed. You're supporting a small team of independent content creators, making me allowed to pay the electricity bill, the aircon, the rent, the insurance, everything that goes along with maintaining and keeping this operation up and running is by sharing those promo codes. It's really, 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 really important that you do that. And we want to thank you very much for your ongoing support of the sponsor and sharing my codes with your family, friends, and people that you know. All right, it's been a busy week. Very, very busy week. Ashoko has been in for a few days from Hawaii. Been just, you know, doing some things here locally. Actually played a little Ingress for the first time in a long, long time. Yes, the game is still alive. I couldn't believe it. But other than that, it's just been a atypical work week, busy here. So that's kind of the status of what's going on. Got probably a busy weekend ahead, I would imagine, catching up on things. But you know what? It's all good. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the Geek News Central family. So something just happened. What happened behind? Oh, just something really weird happened. I hope my Mac's not about ready to crash. I guess everything's still online, but the icons, wow, what was that? Anyway, yes, Macs are not perfect either. They do weird things. So long as the Chrome stays running, we'll be okay. Hey, so this first article up, and if you're watching online, make sure you check in, make sure you say hello. You know, hit that like button on Facebook or on YouTube. Make sure you say hello. We want to hear from you. That's very, very important that you do that. And, but anyways, Senate bill has been created that would create an exception to Section 230 to limit health misinformation. It's called the Health Misinformation Act, would make tech companies liable for misinformation during a health crisis. We know a week ago that Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy declared health misinformation an urgent threat to the U.S. public. So, Senators Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota and Ben Ray Lujan of New Mexico have introduced new legislation that would modify Section 230 of the 1996 Communication Decency Act to strip liability protections from technology companies if their platforms help spread misinformation during a health crisis. Again, here we have a situation where now they're going to legislate and say, you have to determine what is fact or fiction, Mr. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, every place where there's content being created. You are going to be responsible for determining what is fact and what is fiction. And if you don't follow what the government tells you, you're going to be held liable. Very, very, very scary. If passed, the Health Misinformation Act of 2021 would create an exception to Section 230 that would see social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter treated as the publisher or speaker of health misinformation when their platforms algorithmically amplify misleading health content. What falls under the definition of health-related misinformation would be decided by the United States government and the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Not that those positions are politicized at all. This exemption would only apply during a public health crisis, which again, the United States government and the HMS would have to declare. In establishing a rationale for the change, the bill cites a joint report from the Center of Countering Digital Hate and Anti-Vax Watch. Wow, there's a group like that that found that as much as 73% of vaccine misinformation on Facebook can be linked to a group of 12 individuals known as the Disinformation Dozen. It's amazing that 12 people can cause 40% of the country not to get a vaccine. 12 people. Amazing. Far too long, online platforms have not done enough to protect the health of Americans. These are some of the biggest, richest companies in the world, and they must do more to prevent the spread of deadly vaccine misinformation, Senator Klobuchar said in a statement. The coronavirus pandemic has showed us how lethal misinformation can be, and it is our responsibility to take action. It depends on what side of the fence you're on. Some people think that taking the vaccine is deadly. Some think taking the vaccine is a good decision. Some people don't trust the vaccine. But yet, because They're spreading misinformation or opinions. They're now going to be held liable. The bill introduction also follows recent statements by the president. He said platforms like Facebook were killing people. Now, he did reverse that a few days later by not doing more to stop the vaccine. Now they're threatening the country with masks again and threatening, saying that people that are not vaccinated, you're going to die. That's the message that is being put out on the interwebs today. So we have the government going to create liability for companies that don't stifle information that the government determines to be bad information. What happens if you're a scientist and you have a viable opinion on something? It doesn't have to be vaccine related. What if you're a scientist and you have a viable explanation, information, study on something, the government says that's wrong, that's misinformation, you can't put that online? Makes you go doesn't a little bit. All right, what do you all say? What do you think? Do you think the government should do this or not? I want to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send your commentary. Meanwhile, Google is expanding Android Auto's beta testing program. Now, almost anyone with an Android phone can take part. This has been a long-running beta, but joining is almost impossible before today. Those who tried to take part often got an error message that said the program was maxed out. Thankfully, that's no longer the case. Google is expanding the program, giving anyone with an Android device and a willingness to put up with bugs the opportunity to test the platform's latest features before they're made available to the public. As a beta tester, you can help us build a better version of Android Auto. We can spy on you more. You can test how well new features work and spy on you more with your specific phone and vehicle in your part of the world. When you share your feedback and we allow to spy on you, we'll use it to help plan improvements for future releases to spy on you more. You can join the program by visiting the beta opt-in page so that Google can spy on you more. Google has set up the click to become a tester button and then download the beta version of Android Auto from the Play Store. Okay. Go get her done. I'll let them spy on you more. AT&T. One day it's good, one day it's bad. This one's a bad. AT&T nightmare. A woman had to wait 3+ months for broadband at a new home. AT&T is the only ISP available to her. Lots of choices there. Kept canceling installs and until she contacted the news media. Lovi Newman. She had planned for a smooth transition to her new home, including scheduling a transfer for her AT&T high-speed internet service in advance. And when it came day for the installation, they said, "Oh, we're canceling because we have an issue in another area," but they never called to reschedule. So she called for another appointment. But when the day came, they said, "We need to reschedule again." She says, "I wasn't hearing back, and I kept getting rescheduled and pushed around to different departments." Newman was able to schedule another installation appointment in May after the outage was fixed, but installers never came to her house. For 3.5 months, she has made countless efforts to get connected, including the one time she got an appointment and eagerly waited for the technicians to arrive. Newman is at home waiting for the installers to arrive when she got a message from AT&T saying, "We missed you." She said, "I'm like, you never came to my house. How did you miss me?" AT&T installers had mistakenly gone to a different home in her area. Out of desperation, she considered switching providers, but of course, none of them were available. Well, after months of waiting, Newman contacted Trotter at News 4 over 2 weeks ago. The station reached out to AT&T while the company initially did not reply. The prospect of news coverage got AT&T's attention. The news video showed an email sent to Newman on July 8th from an employee at AT&T, the AT&T Office of the President. Every company has one. "Received a communication from a local news reporter. However, since you're our customer, I want to reach out directly." Well, she's finally got connected. And her employer, where she's working from home, is very happy that she's able to get back on the internet. So AT&T did apologize. This is not unique. Some people have waited up to 6 months for cable internet and data capped. People in Mississippi frustrated. This is nothing new. AT&T is a great customer service company. They really, really are. You know my opinion on AT&T. I'm not a big fan. By the way, I don't know if I talked about it on the last show. Linktree became a sponsor of the Podcast Awards. And since then, I have set up Linktree. How that works is linktr.ee/geeknews. That's a place to go to get all your links to the Geek News Central show, some of our sponsors and stuff. My Twitter, social is all linked on there. Give it a try. We'll have that new link up in the show notes probably tonight. Let's talk about the NSO Group. The NSO Group is a provider of spyware. It hopes government and law enforcement bodies will use to fight terrorism. They've announced it will not answer any further questions about allegations raised by Amnesty International and forbidden stories that it produced that its products have been widely misused. The company on Wednesday published a missive titled Enough is Enough. It opens, it says the following. In the light of the recent planned and well-orchestrated media campaign led by forbidden stories and pushed by special interest groups, and due to the complete disregard of the facts, NSO is announcing it will no longer be responding to media inquiries on this matter, and it will not play along with the vicious and slanderous campaign. The document goes on to state its list of alleged targets. The document goes on to state that the list of alleged targets is not a list of targets or potential targets of Pegasus, and that the numbers in this list are not related to the NSO group. Any claim that a name in the list is necessarily related to Pegasus target or Pegasus potential target is erroneous and false. Well, when you got government contracts, that's what you got to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. We're not going to play. We're going to take our cards and go home and continue to make money by all these people that are using our software to spy on other people. Okay, now, I don't know where you are on the Second Amendment. Your choice is yours. But we often hear about people complaining about the Second Amendment, yet they end up having the most expensive security in the entire world. I don't know where Zuck falls on this because I don't think he's ever said anything, not that I know of. But Facebook spent $23.4 million on Mark Zuckerberg's personal security. The CEO's protection costs far eclipse those of other tech executives. A new analysis of the security expenses racked up by Silicon Valley giants shows they collectively spent $46 million to safeguard their top brass last year. Of that figure, $23.4 million alone was spent on Facebook chief Zuckerberg. Personal security up from $20.4 million in 2019. The company attributed the increase to COVID-19 protocols and additional protection during the election. Included in the figure was a pre-tax allowance of $10 million and additional $13.4 million for the Facebook founder's personal security. As a result, Zuckerberg faced a far eclipse others on the list, including the world's richest person, Jeff Bezos, who only had $1.6 million in personal security costs. And signaling how cautious Facebook is, the company's COO, Sheryl Sandberg, was in second place with security worth $7.6 million in 2020. Wow. Wow, the security list, 11 individuals in total. In third place is Google's Sundar Pichai at 5.4, followed by Lyft co-founder and president Jim Zimmer at 2.06, Oracle's Larry Ellison at 1.7, Snap's Evan Spiegel at 1.6, Bezos' Salesforce boss Mark Benioff, 1.3, Uber's Dara Korsica, sorry if I pronounced her name wrong, 849,000, Lyft CEO Logan Green, 599K, and Apple's Tim Cook, 470K. $23 million to protect Zuckerberg? And only $470,000 to protect Tim Cook? One thing's for sure, Zuckerberg is probably protected just about as good as the president is. Holy cow. That's amazing. What do you think about those numbers? $23.4 million in security. How many hired guns does he have? Holy cow. Samsung's next phone will have a scratch and reflection resistant camera. Now, let me read that again. Samsung's next phones will have scratch and reflection resistant cameras, thanks to a new lens cover from Corning that combines glass and coatings to improve durability and image quality. I still like the little protectors you're able to put over phone lenses that comes with cameras these days, or that come with protection kits. That way you'll never get your lens scratched, and the plastic one that you have on the outside will. HBO Max direct U.S. subscribers have rose to 12.1 million in 13 months. It's quadrupled the number from a year earlier, counted not long after HBO Max launched. So that's big. In AT&T's quarterly report, an increase of 2.4 million in the last 3 months and more than quadrupled the number a year earlier. In addition, 31.5 million U.S. subscribers can access HBO Max as part of their regular HBO subscription. Together, that's 43.5 million potential HBO Max subscribers total in the United States. So that's quite a bit, considering that a household may have three or four people in it. The Federal Trade Commission has voted to fight illegal restrictions on right to repair. This follows an executive order from the president. So they voted to increase its fight against restrictions on device repair. The policy statement adopted today is aimed at manufacturers' practices that make it extremely difficult for purchasers to repair their products or shop around for other service providers to do it for them. The move by the FTC follows an executive order in July, which called for the agency to make such a rule that would make it harder for companies to restrict how customers can get their devices fixed. The general idea beyond this, again, is called right to repair. The type of restrictions can significantly raise costs for consumers, stifle innovation, close off business opportunities for independent repair shops, create unnecessary electronic waste, delay timely repairs, and undermine resiliency. So that's a win for the team on that one. Looking for a new laptop? Well, how about a used laptop? There's great websites to find used laptops. Just buyer beware. Number one, of course, is eBay. Number two is Facebook Marketplace. And those, remember, if you buy something off Facebook Marketplace, please do that transaction in a public location. Many cities have marketplace type of safe zones that have cameras and that kind of stuff. So whenever you're doing a face-to-face meetup with someone, use one of those areas if one is available in your hometown. Number three is Gumtree. Number four is Swappa, S-W-A-P-P-A. Number five, of course, is Best Buy's refurbished laptops. And number six is an Apple-certified refurbished laptop. I would think number six, Apple, Best Buy, and probably Swappa and Gumtree, you're probably pretty safe. Most of these have been tested. You'll be able to be assured that it's going to turn on and run upon purchase, and you're going to get what you pay for. I would think on eBay, if the buyer has good or seller has good reputation, and shows that the machine running and all the associated pictures, it'd probably be pretty good there. So it's a great way to kind of save some money if you need a machine for a kid or something to save some cash. People are always looking to sell used laptops. My only advice is if you're going to buy a used laptop, don't count on the battery having much life left in it. Definitely consider the fact that this may be a laptop that you'll have to tether to a power brick, or you'll have to get a battery replaced if it's possible to do so. In a very interesting article over at Engadget, Jack Dorsey hopes Bitcoin can bring about world peace. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey testified during a remote video hearing held by a subcommittee of the U.S. House of Representatives Energy and Commerce Committee on social media roles in promoting extremism and misinformation. And he's been a long-term Bitcoin enthusiast. And the billionaire suggested that Bitcoin would help address financial inequalities and allow humanity to conquer on bigger issues. He says, my hope is it creates world peace or helps create world peace. We all have these We have all these monopolies off balance, and the individual doesn't have power, and the amount of cost and distraction that comes from our monetary system today is real, and it takes away attention from a bigger problem. Well, our current monetary system is dabbling and messing around in these currencies. Don't get anything misconstrued. They want control. And I don't know if Bitcoin will ever remain completely open. I think governments are going to continue to put the screws on. But he made those comments, it was during a panel at a virtual conference called the B Word. Elon Musk and Cathie Wood, chief executive of Square, also took part in the discussion. So Dorsey spoke in 2018 on his belief that Bitcoin would become the planet's single currency. He says there are many hurdles standing between the current state of crypto and the potential for leading it to world peace. Again, such as unreliable internet access in many regions, the power consumption required for Bitcoin mining, and the process transactions are at odds with his vision, according to the folks at Engadget. And of course, earlier this year, Musk said that Tesla would stop taking Bitcoin payments for vehicles because it was concerned about the rapidly increasing use of fossil fuels for Bitcoin mining and transactions. However, they noted that Tesla may resume such payments. So we'll see what happens there. What do you think? Bitcoin for world peace? Lofty goal. So this Friday is a full buck moon. It could rise reddish across most of the United States. Wildfire smoke in the skies could turn the full moon into an orange-red lantern. Large areas of the United States and Canada are seeing hazy skies as smoke from western wildfires spread across North America. The atmospheric haze has been turning sunsets red and giving the moon an orange or reddish appearance. This Friday's full moon could emphasize the moon's unusual color. So saw a little bit of a sunrise this morning. It was a little bit red. Rain here in Michigan. It's been, we're wet. There's no drought going on here. If you are a subscriber to Paramount Plus, there's a new listing on the web for what's new in August 2021. The link will be up in the show notes. Mercedes says it will go all electric in 2030, but with a major caveat. It will go all electric, but with conditions. The German automaker said it will only sell electric vehicles where market conditions allow, implying that Mercedes may still sell gas-powered vehicles after 2030 in countries that lack consumer demand for EVs. So they made this announcement during an EV strategy update Thursday. The latest in a series of automaker events declare a major pivot to electric powertrains. Well, the EU has a mandate where they've got to go electric by a certain year. So if you love your gas-powered vehicle, I think the days are numbered for gas-powered vehicles. The state of California has sued Activision Blizzard over alleged harassment. They're being accused of unequal pay, promoting men over women, and widespread sexual harassment. California's Department of Fair Employment and Housing is taking legal action against the company following a 2-year investigation. Activision called the action disgraceful and unprofessional and called the DFEH unaccountable state bureaucrats. And of course, the company is one of the largest and most successful game companies, publishing major titles like Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, and many others. So the list of things that happen here is that was the accusations are pretty heavy. And of course, one employee even killed herself due to a sexual relationship with a male supervisor, the DFEH has claimed. So this is probably get pretty ugly as it goes to court and makes it work its way through the process. Over on Yahoo, they're announcing, or a TechCrunch article announced, OnePlus announced $150 pro noise canceling earbuds. With a couple of generations of wireless earbuds under its belt, the OnePlus family is the AirPods Pro and the rest of the premium market in its sights. As part of an event today, announced the launch of its budget Nord 2, the company officially announced the OnePlus Buds Pro. Wow. That's interesting. So they kind of look a little bit like AirPods to a certain extent. They are not, but it's nice to see competition in this particular space staying hot and heavy. It gives us all lots of good options. Faraday Future, remember that company? Well, they just become a publicly traded company. They raised $1 billion today in their public offering. So they've had a rocky start all the way back to 2014. Lots of crazy stuff happened with them. So it's surprising they've made it this far, but they've got another $1 billion in the kitters to burn away. Today, there's a huge, huge, huge global outage, largely by Akamai. Visitors attempting to reach some sites received DNS errors. Affected services include Airbnb, UPS, HSBC, British Airways, and the PlayStation Network. One popular DNS provider, Akamai, reported an emerging issue with its Edge DNS service. It is now tweeted the issue has been fixed, but internet outage monitoring platform Down Detectors reported thousands of problems from its users across dozens of platforms. Lots of banks, Barclays, Lloyd's, TSB, Halifax, gaming services including Steam, Call of Duty, EA, streaming service, Channel 4, and ITV were all offline for a significant amount of time today as this was being dealt with. DNS is what the internet runs on. Waymo is going to open an office in Pittsburgh, and it's going to become an AV tech hub. So Waymo's Google's former self-driving car project that's now an independent business under Alphabet is expanding its presence in the United States. So it's going to be opening offices in Pittsburgh. So they're going to hire some engineers. And they'll all co-locate in Google's existing office in Baker Square District. As of Thursday, only around 3 open positions for the Pittsburgh area were listed on the Waymo site, but the company will be adding more roles soon. So Waymo coming to Pittsburgh. But iPad OS 14.7 and Mac OS Big Sur 11.5 come with plenty of bug fixes and security updates. It's unusual for iPad OS to come after iOS, but it's here. So just be aware that there is updates out. Go ahead and grab them. And Apple likely delayed the iPad OS at the last minute to address some issues. But iPad OS 14.7 is out, and it again has a whole bunch of updates. One of the things that fixed was podcast library allows you to choose to see all shows or only followed shows. Okay. So that's interesting. But again, 11.5 had an update as well. Same thing for podcasts and music. And there was actually an update to the Apple Podcast app recently that fixed an auto download issue. That's why many of you may have not gotten the show automatically and been caught off guard when you tried to play the podcast in an area where you had no internet connectivity. That should be fixed now. Motorola's G100 mid-range battery champ is now available in the United States. It comes with a 5,000 milliamp hour cell at a $599 price tag. Of course, this has been all over the Latin American European markets. And again, it's been pretty heavy selling. It's been a great phone. So again, a Motorola G100 mid-range battery champ is now available. Twitter, they had a pretty good quarter. They posted their fastest revenue growth since 2014. So Twitter shares rose as much as 9%. Earnings were 20 cents per share, adjusted versus 7 cents as expected. Revenue of $1.19 billion versus $1.07. Monetizable daily active users were at 206 million versus 206.2 million as expected. Twitter's revenue grew by 74% year over year in the quarter, according to a shareholder letter. After a $1.38 billion loss After a $1.38 billion loss in the year-ago quarter, on Thursday, Twitter showed a $65.6 million profit. And the number of monetizable daily active users on Twitter's whose views advertising site grew by 11%. Intel beats estimates. but guides to lower margins for quarter three. So what did Intel put down? Intel shares fell 2%. Earnings per share was $1.28 versus $1.06. Revenue was $18.5 billion adjusted versus $17.8 billion expected. But they raised guidance for 2021 by $1 billion to $73.5 million in adjusted revenue and full year earnings per share of $4.48. Intel results suggest that a boom in the computer sales that started during COVID-19 pandemic may continue even as people return to offices and schools. However, Intel guided to non-GAAP Intel guided to non-GAAP gross margins of 55% in quarter three, a notable drop from 59.2% in quarter two. Said that the decreased margin was due to a supply constraints, again, chip supply constraints, as well as costs related building chips with a new process. So income up, share revenue down. You looking for an Android tablet? Well, there's some good ones out there. Actually, some cheap ones out there. And I'll have a link to those 7 best cheap Android tablets. A link will be in the show notes. You definitely want to check that out if you're looking for something to save a little money. AT&T, who we bashed earlier, who can't seem to get service to their customers, his top earnings estimate is phone customers rush back. So AT&T's first quarter and growth continued in the period ending in June. It added 789,000 net postpaid phones and 1.16 million total postpaid customers, while its turnover rate was 0.69%. Wow. 0.69%, excuse me. And my son's calling me and I can't answer right now. AT&T also hit its goal of covering 250 million people with its nationwide 5G network. So they posted net income of $1.51 billion or 21 cents per share and revenue of $44.04 billion. It's just as earnings per share, which includes one-time items, was 89 cents. So anyway, I guess they did okay. Let me check this message from him and see what he said here. Oh, I don't know. All right. Twitter is testing a downvote button. And the name of this potential feature is exactly the same as what Reddit uses to enable users to express dislike on a Reddit post. Twitter downvotes work differently than the ones on Reddit. Twitter support tweeted, some of you on iOS may see different options to up or down vote on replies. We're testing this to understand the type of replies you find relevant in a conversation so we can work on ways to show more of them. Your downvotes aren't public, while your upvotes will be shown as likes. And it's just a research test right now. So that's very, very interesting in itself. Article by Jen over on my site at geeknewscentral.com. NASA sent a message to Mars. We're about to laser your rocks and start stealing them. NASA's Perseverance rover has started the process of acquiring its first sample. And of course, they tweeted this to the Martian authorities on the imminent heist, which will see the rover move to a spot named Cratered Floor Fractured Rough that offers geology of sufficient interest that it's worth bringing bits of it home. NASA plans to find two patches of similar rock and subject one to the tender embrace of an abrading bit to scrape off the top layer of rock and dust, expose fresh, unweathered surfaces. Next, NASA will blow it clean with our gas dust removal tool and another instrument, mass-mounted supercam, which lacks a clever acronym, will fire a laser at the rock and analyze the resuming plume of heated Mars stuff that it will photograph and analyze. Once the laser-packed space tank has got all that business done, it'll wheel out a rotary percussive drill, connect it to a robotic arm, and drill the untouched geologic twin of the rock that was previously exposed, subjected to abrading and lasering, and it will fill a tube with a coarse sample. How is it going to get it back? NASA currently has no firm plan to retrieve the samples. Indeed, its mission description page mentions only a potential return to Earth. A concept for the return mission does exist and suggests a mission leaving in 2026 could do the job to bring samples back to Earth in 2031. Huh. It's called the Fetch Rover. So we'll see if that actually happens. We'll have to see. We'll have to wait. And finally, of course, this is a duplicate article. Don't need to cover it. My team at Geek News Central also covered the illegal repair restriction. So another article by Jen, one of our top writers at Geek News Central. All right. So let me go ahead and get you out of here. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Let me see if anything has come in today. No, nothing has come in. I do appreciate, though, when you do send comments about the show, it's greatly appreciated. And I did get some commentary that was requested not to be read on the show. Thank you for your support. We definitely appreciate it. Appreciate the support for the commentary for the podcast. That means if one person liked it, 1,000 of you did. And if no one else complains, I know that no one else hates it. So it kind of weighs both ways when those comments come in. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. I'm going to bounce. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll see you on Monday for another show. Everyone take care. We got a Monday show and a Thursday show as scheduled next week. And then I'm off to Nashville for Podcast Movement. So the first week of August, the first two shows in August, specifically the show on the 2nd and on the 6th, I will not be doing a show that week because I'm going to be in Nashville. So definitely will be turning you on to some of the other content here at Geek News Central while I'm out. But thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being part of our Geek News Central family. We'll see you next time here on the show. See you Monday. Take care. Bye-bye.